Hey, good evening and welcome to Vital Living Monthly. Every month, if it's 6 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be here. Facebook Live, we've been doing it for how many years?
Over seven years now.
Yeah,
we started
in the month of November?
We did.
So
7 years. We celebrated 7 years last month. In fact, we had the best of, kind of, we reviewed a lot of our guests, and hopefully we didn't leave anybody out, but we really raced through them and all the guests we've had in the past 7 years. And tonight is no exception. We have a great guest that we'll be introducing after we have our opening prayer and after I read some scripture that my husband pastor,
Robert
has picked out. Anyway, I'm
Donna
Schuler.
You can just call me Robert. Yeah. That works for me.
I'm Donna Schuler. This is Vital Living, which is a Vital Living Monthly, which is on the 15th of the month for over 7 years. And this is just part of what we do for the Robert Schuler Ministries, a church with no walls. So welcome. We're glad you're here. A lot of people are listening now on podcasts because this will go from Facebook Live onto our podcast. Also, this recording will be put on YouTube, which will stay on there forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, and I think it stays on Facebook forever too, doesn't
it? I think so.
Just about.
You just have to archives.
You just have to scroll back far enough to get last month's and this morning's message and all of that.
All of that stuff.
So let's start with a moment of prayer. Do you like that idea?
Yeah, always.
Let's pray.
And today's Sunday, too. We love it when the 15th falls on a Sunday.
Yeah. And why is that?
Well, because this is our third church service.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more work.
It is a lot more work.
I like it when it's more in the middle of the week. But
we'll take tomorrow off.
You know, one of the reasons we do the 15th of every month is that we figured that way there's going to be at least one day a week where it's going to work for everybody. Because some people may have Tuesdays off or Wednesdays off or Thursdays or Sundays or whatever it is. And that way, eventually, the 15th is going to come around to the day that works for you, because it's not every Wednesday, it's not every Thursday, it's not every Saturday. It's the 15th, and whatever day that falls on is the day we're here.
Middle of the month.
And it's the middle of the month, that's right.
And now we're in Mexico, and we have a wonderful local guest, a woman that's become a really good friend of ours, so stay tuned. And sorry for those of you that are on the call, somehow you got cut off, but now we're good to go.
Okay.
So hopefully you can hear me.
So let's have a prayer.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to come together literally around the world. We join voices and hearts and minds together to understand more about you, to feel your touch, to come together as your church, a church without walls, boundless, reaching around the world. And so, God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to come together to pray, to worship, to read your scriptures, to be inspired, to be uplifted, to hear words of encouragement and hope. And so we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have right now, this very moment, and the fact that you are blessing us in all ways. So give us the faith to believe that all things work together for good to those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. And so we are called by you this very moment into love and joy and peace. Thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for this Sunday of Advent. Thank you for the people who are surrounding us with your presence. We love you, Lord. Amen.
And so you would like me to read some scripture?
I would.
Okay. I would love to do that.
And if you want me to read it, I will.
No, here we are. Okay.
John 1.
Yes, we've got to get in the light here.
Select verses from John 1.
Okay, so this evening's scripture is from John 1, and I will be reading selected verses beginning with John 1, verse 6. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Continuing with verse 15. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said something or someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we're expecting?" "No." "Then who are you?" "We need an answer to those who sent us." "What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words to the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way, for the Lord is coming." And we know that God always adds blessing to the reading of his word.
The Lord is coming.
The Lord is coming. Okay. Absolutely.
A little bit there.
Okay.
So the Lord is coming. John the Baptist came to be able to pave the way and to make straight the highway in the desert for Jesus. And on this Advent Sunday, I want us to recognize the fact that we are preparing our hearts and our minds for the coming of the Christ child. And so this is an opportunity for us to be able to realize it is a testimony of love. It is a testimony of God's tremendous love for us. And so Jesus came as the light of the world, and it is the lous in Greek, that essential light that penetrates every heart and mind, that is the giver of life, that is the greatest energy source that we have on planet Earth. It is everything. It has always been, always will be, and that is the Son of God, the extension of God into human flesh, the incarnate Christ. It is Jesus. And so that's our Advent message today.
And I just heard you say luz, and it's a mismo luz. Palabra en
luz,
español.
Light.
Light.
Yes.
Light. Luz. Greek and Espanol. So maybe we will not be speaking Spanish. We don't speak well enough, but our guest does. So
and
English very
and
well.
And that's to be distinguished from when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Mm-hmm. The light of the world, when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," he doesn't use the word luz. He uses the word lamp, so it'd be I don't have it in front of me. Ron, can't recall what it is right off the top of my head, but it's a completely different word, and it means mm-hmm. lamp. And it's very similar to the lamps that they would fill with oil, and there'd be a little wick out of it, and those were the lamps that. And of course, if you run out of oil, the lamp doesn't work. There's no more light. And that's very important for us to realize as individuals. If we run out of our light isn't there because we don't have the oil, so we need to be plugged into the Holy Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
That is our energy. That is our oil. That is what gives us the ability to shine. We mm-hmm. don't shine on our own accord like the loose, like Jesus.
Yes.
We shine because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and our minds and our souls with the reality of who he is. And so you are the light of the world, said Jesus. And then he's referring to every single person who calls upon him and declares him as their Lord. And he fills their hearts and their minds with his light, his power, his energy, his source. And if we remain plugged into that source, our lights will shine forever.
We pass it on, right?
Pass it
this
on.
This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine.
Right on.
Send a good Sunday school song for those of you that went to camp or Sunday school. Maybe you remember that. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Yeah.
And we're in Mexico. We said that earlier, but some of you join us at all different times. I know people on Facebook come and go. We can see some of you. Some of you are hidden, which is great, which is perfect. We're just here to shed some light on your life, and it's the light of Jesus, like Robert said. And why don't you talk a little bit now about where we come, what we do, and then introduce our guest.
Well, we come to San Jose del Cabo, Mexico, every month to host a service in this beautiful chapel in the Cabo Azul Hotel. And the hotel sends a notice out to the guests saying that we're going to be there, and chapel is absolutely amazing. A cross that descends from the ceiling, and it is suspended in the middle of the chapel. And the people are really good to us, mm-hmm. and they send invitations to all of their guests. And then we have a bunch of local people who attend. And recently we had a new person who came to this for the first time. I'm not sure how her daughter got some kind of a text message. I think it was one of those Holy Spirit moments where her daughter got an invitation, and she said, "Mom, will you come to church with me?" And Mom says yes. And so since then we've become good friends with her and her son and her daughter.
Part of your family. She has a large family. We haven't met them all, but we will. We will meet them all.
We've met 4 out of the 7. So over half.
So you want me to slide over and
I think you can stay where you are. Okay. I think Elsa can slide on in.
Yes.
This is Elsa Aramburo, and welcome to Vital Living Monthly.
Thank you.
Church with no walls.
It's a privilege for me to be here with you.
Well, it's our honor, and I think we should start by asking about your family history in this area. We are sitting with somebody that knows a lot about this area. You're third generation, right? Your children are fourth generation.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Slide a little bit closer. Little bit there
more.
You go.
A little okay. bit more. We want to see this beautiful, beautiful face shining for God, shining for Jesus. So anyway, so tell us a little bit about, just give us a little snapshot about your grandfather would have been, that came here, your grandmother.
My grandfather was from Spain.
Okay.
And he came with 3 brothers.
Okay.
And my father had 9 siblings.
Wow.
So now I have like 52 cousins in this town.
We met some of them one night we were with your son, with Moses.
Every time I walk around with Moses, I meet some of his cousins.
Yeah, he's one of my cousins.
Yeah, he'll stop and say hi to somebody, and I'll say, "Who's that?" "Oh, it's one of my cousins."
Exactly. So, you know what a lot of people don't realize? This is really a beautiful colonial village here. This is not Cabo San Lucas, which is kind of, we know it's known as a party town. This is completely different, right?
Yes, San Jose del Cabo is known as a family-oriented mm-hmm. town more mm-hmm. than that.
Anything else.
Exactly, yes. It is. And the
towns. And I was born in San Diego, but I was raised here.
Okay.
So when I was 14 years old, my parents say, "Oh, she doesn't speak English, and she was born in the States."
So that's a problem.
Yes, that was a problem. So they sent me to the States, and since then I have been back and forth.
Okay, and you did the same with your children, right?
Yes. I say, no, my children are not going to go through what I went. Mm-hmm. So they need to speak English, and they do.
No. Yes, they do. They speak well. We know her son Moises, we call him Moses, but really it's Moises, right?
Moises.
Uh-huh. Moises. And he is 27 years old and speaks like you would think he's from San Diego. He acts like he's from San Diego. People don't really know that he's Mexican. And he speaks fluent Spanish and English, and he's just a great young man. We've enjoyed, you know, a couple of our sons now have met him. Our son-in-law and our oldest son met him. They went fishing together, and just a wonderful, great family. We love this. And maybe tell us a little bit, so, you know, life hasn't always been calm and great, and you're not without tragedy with raising your children by yourself for many years with your husband's death.
Yes.
And maybe tell us a little bit about that.
My husband died 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was with 6 children. The little one was 2 years old, the other one was 5, the other one was 7, 9, 11, 13, and an 18-year-old. And I really was desperate, mm-hmm. desperate, until one day I read a Bible verse that I'm going to read to you now.
Oh, good.
And the Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, mm-hmm. to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor in the day of vengeance
of our God,
to comfort all who mourn, mm-hmm. and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning.
Wow.
And a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. That was a turn for me. Yeah. I was grieving for...
How did you find that passage? How did you do the... We call it Bible roulette.
Yeah, did
you? Yeah, have you heard that? You just open the Bible and there it is.
I have a friend in San Diego, and she came and she said, you know, God put in my heart to give you this passage.
Wow.
So since then, the Lord lift me up, and the Lord gave me comfort, and the Holy Spirit just started working in my life in an amazing way. That there is a purpose in everything that God allowed, and He is faithful. He is faithful.
Now were you a Christian before though? You were always a believer, right?
Yes, I was Christian then, but not many years. I just started knowing the Lord.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So. You were immediately immersed in fire after your after you became a Christian.
Yes.
And you have been able to not only raise your children, because now the youngest, the 2-year-old would be 17 then?
He is 17 now.
Is 17.
Yes.
And so the 17-year-old doesn't ever remember his father, I assume.
No. No.
Doesn't know, have any memories of his father.
Well, he has a lot of pictures.
Yeah,
and
pictures.
For the first 2 years, it's make an impact in his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yes. That's good. Sharing. I'm sure you share a lot with him. And then, of course, he's all of his older siblings, right?
Yes.
To tell him stories and all that. But, you know, it's just, you know, we all have things we go through, and it's just so important to have the faith, you know. And I definitely hear that your faith and really brought you through a really serious, you know, a lot of grief, and you went on to raise amazing kids. And then tell us about your school, because she's the founder and the administrator of an amazing school.
Well, let's back up a minute.
Sure.
And just say, how did you get inspired?
Yes.
What inspired you? Because you started this school how long ago?
20 years ago. Yeah.
So 20 years ago.
20
so this
years
is,
ago.
So your 21st. Husband was still alive.
Yes, he was still alive.
And he did he participate in starting the school?
Yes,
then?
He did.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
So tell us how that happened.
Well, I read in the Bible that it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he grows old, he will not depart from it. So I knew that our first ministry was at home with our children.
Absolutely. Right on.
Our
yes,
children.
That's
so
the number
in the
one
air,
thing we all
the,
have to do.
Yes, and in the area there was no schools that they were teaching biblical principles.
Really?
So I knew about the ABECA program, and in South America there's the same program translated into Spanish, and it's Águila, Águila, and that's how I started. We hired one teacher, and that loved the Lord, and we start teaching our kids at home. But because it's
so you did homeschooling with your own children,
my own,
and then
children.
You brought in one teacher to help them.
Yes.
Did you do it in the house then?
Yes, I did it at the house.
Amazing.
And
and that's how the school started.
Yes,
then.
That's how it started.
Wow.
A missionary family that was in town, they hear about that we were teaching our kids English and the values with biblical principles. And so they came, knock at the door, and say, here, there's a few more kids, and then there's four more kids.
Wow.
Then the next week, again.
So you went from 6 to 10.
Yes, and then at the end of the first year, we had like 50 children that want to be enrolled.
So after a year, you had 50 children?
Yes, that wow. wanted to be enrolled.
Was your house big enough to house that many?
Well, but by that time, my husband say, you know, across our home, there's a property from the family that he say, let's go and I'm gonna show you where we're gonna start. And everything was by faith, because there was only like a few classrooms that they were in ruins, a few rooms.
Wow.
And then little by little we start buying bricks and building another classroom. Yes,
well, it's
our
beautiful, it's a beautiful school. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we'll ask you more about that. But we just went to her Christmas program Thursday night too. Mm-hmm. Your school's Christmas
yes.
program was amazing. And how many children participated?
We have 250 yes. children now.
And it was just a great, great Christmas. We posted a little section of it.
Yes.
But so tell us, I want you to pronounce your school, because I have to learn more.
The name of the school is Instituto Internacional Libertad. And it means like the School of Liberty or Freedom.
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 Isn't that nice?
God calls us for freedom, to set the captives free.
Which it takes yes. us back to your passage that you read today.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and that's one of the things we really love about spending so much time in this country, is that, you know, this morning in church we talked about the huge life-size nativity scene that is in
yes,
the town okay. square. Again, this is just a lovely family town. They have a beautiful town square right in front of the main Catholic church. It's just a beautiful cathedral, something you would expect to see in a Mexican town. And, you know, it's not, I'm not saying that every single person practiced their Christianity, but the fact is that they're not telling people, no, you can no longer put a nativity set up, because that's what's happening
yes.
where we live.
Wow.
We have to be, you know, you have to be careful
well,
about your faith. They don't let you just have a nativity.
We're not allowed to call a Christmas tree
yeah.
a Christmas tree.
Yeah, a winter
it's
tree.
Called a winter tree now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not allowed to have Christmas programs. They call them
winter
programs.
Winter break, no Christmas
and
break.
No Christmas break, it's winter break.
Wow.
Yes.
So there is a movement that has just continued to grow nationwide to take Christ out of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And replace him with Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
And we
and
like all that too. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun stuff. But remember Christmas, right?
Yes.
Christmas.
Yes.
So it's lovely to be here in Mexico
yes.
because they honor that. And, you know, there's right out the back here of our window, there's a 90-foot cross, a steel cross, a beautiful piece of art up on the hill, and it's lit every single night. And nobody's protesting that it needs to be taken down.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in California, people, you can't put up a cross. You're offending other people. So
well,
it's beautiful to see this.
The
system,
culture. The system. Wants to ignore God,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
in Him we live and in Him we move, and in Him we have our beings.
Absolutely.
And,
so,
and in Him and we have the energy to have
yes.
the light,
yes.
and to be productive individuals.
And He said, "You will know the truth,
right.
and the truth will set you free." So it is very important to be teaching the truth to these new generations.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing at the school. And even at the program, everything was like, we raise up the banner and we put a flag, and the flag was all red. I did it myself.
You sewed it yourself?
I sewed it myself and all that. A big, huge red flag. And everything was, the reason for the season is He was born, but He had a purpose, and it was to wash away the sins. And He's Emmanuel, and He is with us, and He is still lighting those hearts,
mm-hmm.
willing hearts, and He wants to that all the to make from our hearts an altar of worship for Him, because in eternity we're going to be worshiping God.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's interesting, an aside, I don't know that you knew this, but we administrated a private school, Christian school, for a while at our church campus at Rancho Capistrano in San Juan Capistrano, because our kids, we always believed in public school because we thought our children should be in the public system so they can be good examples and they can maybe shed the light of love of Jesus in the public school. But Robert finally was so offended by the fact that they took away every mention of Christmas. Yes. And in the Christmas program,
not one
song that was a song about Jesus or the virgin birth or anything. Lots about, again, we have no problem with Santa Claus and jingle bells, but not one
Frosty
Christian.
Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
It was the winter program. It was everything but Christ.
So he decided to start a school. And we did. We had a school for how many years? And we used ABECA. We used the ABECA curriculum. We had many, I don't know, how many children did we have?
We had about 250.
Yeah, we had about 250, 300 kids. And it was wonderful. Yeah. Our kids went there through 8th grade. Then they went to the public high school.
Yes. Yeah. Well, God says that our children are gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
They're gifts from God. And the other people who bring their children to the school, we have them 30 to 40 hours a week. So it's very important to know that there's a spiritual children that God bring in our lives, and to be teaching them the word of God.
It's important.
During that time
of
the
week. It's so important. You know, there's also a kind of a movement among younger parents, at least, you know, in the area we live in most of the time in Southern California, that they don't want to push any kind of belief on their kids. They let their own kids figure it out for themselves. And I always say, well, if they have nothing to figure out, right, they have this big vacuum and it's empty inside of them, and they're going to believe anything and everything. And so I think it's just exactly what you're saying. We need to give them a firm foundation of who God is, of how much he loves us, that this is who you come to when you have problems. Of course, you come to your family too.
Yes.
But it's just, there's this movement. I don't know if you've heard that, but it's just, you know, don't put your own beliefs on children. They'll figure it out. No, they won't figure it out.
And the situation is like a lot of the problems that we have in society now is because they don't know their identity.
Yes.
Their identity. To teach a kid or even an adult our identity in Christ is glorious.
So important.
It's very important.
So important.
So how do you do that in your school?
In the mornings, we have a devotional. So we teach the word of God because God says his word doesn't return void.
Do you do that every morning?
Every morning. Every morning.
That's why I had a chance to be able to
Yes.
You
went there on a Monday.
You are,
I did.
You are welcome. Any morning at 7:45, we are teaching the word of God. And in the music department is a worship leader that is teaching only Christian songs.
That's
to
so
be
great.
That they can worship in spirit and in truth.
Well,
that's
think,
what God is looking for.
I think
for
it's
worshipers.
So important to learn Christmas, not just Christmas, but Christian music growing up. So you learn the songs like Jesus Loves Me. I always know I can come back to that. I'll never forget that. I learned that as a child. And the songs we learn as a child, we will remember forever.
You do.
Yes.
You will never forget those. But if you, songs you learn as an adult, they're fleeting. They come and they go.
Yes. And God says that he abides in the midst of worship. So since 7:45 till 3 o'clock, there's worship at the school, at the grounds of the school, all the time.
So
and
great.
That is a tool that we have. And I believe that what God says about he abides in the midst of worship. So that is one of the tools, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So when we do that, I believe the angels start coming from heaven and the Holy Spirit is moving through the hearts of the children.
Oh. The call failed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try again.
I'm gonna call back. You go ahead and talk.
Yeah. So, we've got to We've got to get, we have our phone call that we're recording for our podcast, and unfortunately it's not working well.
We have a few people on.
So we're going to have to call back again. But, so one of the questions I was going to, one of the things I was going to mention was, I know you're too humble to talk about this, but Moses told me. Moses, your son, told me that there are many children and parents who come to you who do not have the money to pay the tuition, mm-hmm. or don't have the means to be able to buy their textbooks and other things, and you and your family help them out tremendously and give them scholarships.
Well, I think we are called to serve God, first of all. And this is a ministry that God, I never thought that I was going to be running a school. This was God's idea. I think was God's idea, and He had a purpose to do this. And yes, all the children that we serve are middle to lower class. So most of them, they have discounts because they cannot afford the full tuition.
Well, I think you told me there's something, they have to take a test at a certain age, and if they don't pass it, then they don't get to go further in school, and they'll never be able to go to school again, and this causes a lot of problems.
Yes.
If there's a young person on the street,
yes,
anywhere you live.
Yes,
how does that work?
Well, at the age, when they're going to go into high school, they take a test, and it's at the same time, all the public high schools, and if they don't pass the test, so there's a lot of children that are without high school education.
Well, I never would have passed that test when I was in junior high school.
He had a learning disorder, disability, learning disorder, something like that.
I never would have passed.
But God makes mm-hmm. us humble. Sometimes it's like with Paul. He gives us a thorn to keep us humble, but He has great things, great purpose for our lives.
Always, yeah, so. Always. And it's just so wonderful what you do. So if there's anybody out there that feels called to maybe donate some funds for, and I know you didn't ask this, but for any kind of scholarship money, that would be great. This wasn't planned. We weren't going to say this, but I just feel called to say that because obviously if you see a child on the street, like you told me about the shoe repair man, is that one of their children, was it, that you saw that they didn't make it through school and they couldn't go to school?
A lady that had a coffee shop.
A coffee shop.
Yes,
okay. Okay.
Right.
Yes. And you accepted that child and allow them to come to school. And imagine if there's, well, we know what happens in any society with children that don't go to school.
Yeah.
And they sit around and they again, that life is a vacuum and you have to fill it with something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids that aren't in school can get in trouble. They don't become educated. They don't move on in their life. They don't have a job or a good job, and probably affects them their whole life.
Yeah.
Their whole life. So it's so beautiful what you do. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
well,
you very,
praise
very
God.
Much.
Praise
we're
God.
We're going to continue to, Robert will continue to speak for you.
I will.
And do that. And I don't know, is there anything else you want to share that's important? Maybe people that are, I don't know. I think maybe what one of the things God's putting on my heart is to talk about maybe this. So many people where we live are scared of Mexico. You know, the news, what's
yes,
big thing. So,
news.
I mean, how safe it is here. What a great community is this. This is a family place. I don't know. Is there anything you can share about that?
About the...
Just that this is a great place to live.
Well,
is it safe to live here?
Yes, it is. It is safe to live here. Even with the children of the school, we have a class and we do missions around.
Mm-hmm.
And we take them to the poor communities.
Oh, good.
Like during this time, we have the host, the Samaritan Purse, and they're mm-hmm. coming to do some evangelism. And then the gifts that they bring to the school, we're going to go to the poor,
barrios
mm-hmm. to the poor community. And then we're going to share, the kids of the school are going to share their gifts to them. to them.
Well, wonderful.
That's so that's
well, thank you. That's everything.
But it is safe. It is safe to live here. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to sponsor a child, or even we have a match. We have
a
match.
Good.
If somebody sponsor a child for half, then we have a person to do the other half.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you to do that, how do they do that?
How do they do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they can get in touch with us.
So I'll tell you what. Yeah. If you want to sponsor a child in her school, just connect with us. Send us an email. My email is robert@schulerministries.org. Donna's is donna@schulerministries.org.
That's S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R. Ministries, plural. So robert@schulerministries.org or donna@schulerministries. Or write us a note on Facebook. Connect with us privately on Facebook. And we always get back to people. Always. Nobody answers our mail except us. No, and we pray for people. And so if you have any prayer requests, please. Or anything you want to, you know, say to Elsa, and we'll get it to her.
Yes. The difference of this school is like the children can get knowledge wherever school they go. But God says that He's the one who gives wisdom and intelligence. And right, we teach the Word of God. So we're training their character to be those godly next generations that are going to be in the future when we're not here. To teach a child is to touch the future.
Absolutely.
And we believe in God, what God is doing is amazing in
so
that
great.
Place. Yes, even some children that they already graduate from high school, there's during these 20 years, there's three pastors that they went right into the ministry because they love the Lord. And there's a few that are in the worship leaders, and they go to different universities because it's bilingual school, and because of the area that we're that we are in. When they finish, some of them, we had students in University of Santa Barbara in the United States, another one in Oregon, Canada. Their student went to France. Germany. So we believe
you're sending them around the world.
We believe that God is sending them to the nations. So it's very important that
we are planting seeds,
and just like Jesus told Peter, "Do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
Feed my sheep.
Right.
Feed my sheep." So God is faithful, and all the glory go to God about this school.
Let's pray.
Yes.
Dear
Let's
Heavenly
pray.
Father, we thank you for the school. We thank you for Elsa. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to make a difference in a child's life. So touch our hearts and open our minds to the reality and the goodness that we have as we are tapped into your essential light that has the ability to empower all of us to be a light to the world. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Elsa, for being here tonight.
Thank you so much.
God.
And before you cut off here, we have a couple of little announcements to make. This is a church service. If you would like to make an... this is part of our church service. We've had so many today. This is actually our Vital Living Ministry. But this is what we do. We do church services. We do calls like this. We do we pastor one-on-one. We baptize. Robert still baptizes and buries people, marries people, does everything a pastor does. But we don't have the four walls of a church that support us. So we raise all of our own funds. If you feel so called to make a donation, you can pick up your cell phone and, like, you're text messaging somebody. You just, the number is 555-888. And in the message line, like you're going to write a message to somebody, you write RDSM. And that stands for Robert Donna Schuler Ministries. It's just RDSM. And it's only six numbers, I know. So it's 555-888. And anyway, so anything you feel called to give will help us continue to do what we do, because we do this all over the world, and we've enjoyed having you with us also. What a great friend.
So like this page, share this page, let people know that what we're doing here, and get the word out.
Yep, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll be with you again January 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
If it's 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yep, it's time for Vital Living Monthly.
We're here.
And we'll have another guest next month. We'll be back in California next month, I believe, on the 15th. Pretty sure. So anyway, we have a great guest lined up for you next month. And again, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching if you're on Facebook, or if you're listening on podcast, or if you're listening on the conference call. And God is blessing you.
God bless you, everybody.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.